Let's have a word of prayer. Blessed Father and God, we thank thee and praise thee for our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank thee for occasions like these, where you will gather your people and where you will water us. We turn to thee, blessed Father and God, and we know that you are divinely interested in this meeting this evening, because we are thine own. We have been bought with a price. And ye, blessed God and Father, is your desire that we'll be brought into thy mind and thy purposes for us. We pray for everyone that is here. We ask that we'll read in the book distinctly, that we'll give the sense and cause all to understand. Father, we know the hearts of all men are before thee. We know indeed, blessed God, you will spread your word, but we desire that it will fall upon good ground, that it will bring forth fruit for the honor and praise and glory of thy Son's name, and whereby you will be glorified. We commit this time into thy hands, giving thee thanks, indeed for thy Son, giving thee thanks, indeed that thou hast given us this time to open thy precious word. We ask to speak and cause that we will hear. These things we ask, Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now I would like us to read John's Gospel. And chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And reading from verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them thy word, which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I spake in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them, in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. For they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these only, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou givest me for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known me, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, beloved saints, I have to say that I have to put my thoughts on to control myself. Because Brother Hadley could tell you, our lectures rarely usually be 2 hours in other places. But here, Brother Hadley told me, the maximum I have is 40 minutes. So I decided, Brian, listen, to keep in the straitjacket I've been placed. I decided, you know what, Brother Brian, you better put your thoughts down and follow the line and keep it as short as possible. Because Brother Hadley knows, when we go to Africa, we have at least 5 lectures in a day. So, and these lectures are very long. So now, here it is, these constraints that have been placed upon me. I want to be obedient as a servant, because the scripture says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets, but not to time. So I will try to bring it in, beloved saints. But we are going to look at a prayer. We are going to look at a prayer, and we have to say, we thank God. We thank God the Spirit for putting this prayer of the Lord Jesus on the eternal pages of God's Word. Because it's profound. Indeed, it is so profound that we can hear, indeed, divine persons speaking to each other. I tell you, in the book of Ephesians, it tells us about the counsels of God, that divine persons have counseled together to bring to pass some things that will fill their hearts. We are hearing the Son speaking to the Father. And this is what is before us here. And rightly so, it is called the high priestly work of Christ, high priestly prayer of Christ. So now, in light of this, the high priestly prayer of Christ, I want to turn to 2 portions of scripture, because it's the present ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The present ministry of the Lord Jesus is his high priestly ministry. And this is something that we need to readily lay hold upon. Indeed, that there is a person who is interceding on our behalf every day. Every day. He must be God. Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 7. Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19. Hear what it says. It says, "For the law maketh nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near unto God." Chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. For such an high priest becometh us, or is fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." What these verses bring before us is this: that the Lord Jesus, in his present ministry as our high priest, have a perfect, perpetual, and permanent high priest. Is a permanent high priest. In his priesthood is perfect, it's perpetual, it's continuing, and it's permanent. And where is that ministry being, as it were, function or being carried out, administrated? In chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews tells us where this is. It tells us in chapter 8 and verse 1. It tells us there, it says, "Now, of the things which we have spoken," this is the Son, "we have such an high priest who is past, who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." So where he is ministering now, if we take this as the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, beloved saints, we are treading on holy ground at this moment. It is very, very, if we should use the term, indeed, as it were, it's sacred ground. Very, very sacred ground. To be brought in, to listen, indeed, to hear, indeed, the Son of God talking to God the Father. It's a tremendous privilege. Hey, I've been brought into the presence of great people. Great people. Well, had a little name, really. Not too big. I sat, the Prime Minister of St. Kitts was next to me. Yeah? Next to me. And I was given the privilege to speak at a graduation ceremony. After I finished, he says, "You know, you should join my party." Well, listen, this permanent, this perfect, and this perpetual priesthood is being functioned. It's going on right now. Now he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's a continual priesthood. But he is functioning now after the pattern of Aaron. He has gone in. And you know what God has done? Now when you look in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, he is there because of who he is. He is the Son of God. He takes that place in chapter 1 and verse 3. In chapter 1 and verse 13, he is there because of his preeminence. In chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, he is there because of his perfect priesthood. In chapter 10, and I believe it's
12.
Thank you, Tim. Chapter 12, he's there because of his perfect sacrifice. And in chapter 12, he is there because of his moral perfection. You know what God has done? God has drawn back the veil a bit. Just drawn back the veil. And help us to see inside the sanctuary. to look in and see the Son of God. Indeed, God has rolled it back. And now, brethren, you know the scripture says, we have boldness to enter into the holiest of all. Indeed, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, to the veil that is to say his flesh. Now, beloved, as we enter in to listen, indeed, to the Son of God. Imagine, indeed, this is a prayer the Lord prayed in the presence of his disciples. You could imagine the privilege. The Queen of Sheba said of Solomon, men, you know, when she saw the meat on his table and the attendance of his servants and their apparel and how they ministered to Solomon. You know what she says? Happy are these men that stand continually and hear your wisdom. Well, I tell you this, we are happier than the servants of Solomon. Indeed, because we are not brought in as servants, we are brought in as sons. And this is what we want to look at, indeed, this evening. Because I believe a lot of us, when we speak about intercession, let's hear the Son speaking on behalf of you. And hear what he tells the Father about you and us. And you know what? Imagine to listen to him. This was his habitual life, you know. This is what, not some occasion when we pray once a week. This was the constant, a personal enjoyment of the Son, indeed, with the Father. So God just give us a little foretaste of what the Son enjoys all the time. Now it tells us, he lifted up his eyes, verse 1. Lifted up his eyes to heaven and speak freely in the presence of his disciples. What a thing is this? You know, Brother Joe could tell you, we used to have prayer meetings all night. All night. And if we tell you what God has done, time will fail us. But we had a brother who used to, the Lord has called him home, Shiva Walker. Boy, when that man get down to pray, you felt he was in the presence of God. One watchtower lady came to his home and he says, before you start talking, please, let me talk to the Lord. When he finished, she says, you spoke as though you know God. Like you have a personal relationship with him. Oh, I tell you, listen. You could tell individuals who have personal relationship with God. You could tell, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize, hey, this person connects. This person get through. They were hearing the Son of God speaking. And as he spoke, he was telling God the Father about them, and they were hearing what was on his heart about them. I could remember, you know, I heard a brother says, anytime you want to really get your children moving right, you know, some says, give them a good spanking. One guy says, starve them. You learn. But you know, you just tell your children, tell God about your children in their audience. I tell you, they have a sobering effect. Tell God, Lord, you still have a rebellious son here. God, you know, he don't want to listen. I want you to do something about it. This daughter don't want. You just tell God, you see what happened. When the Lord Jesus told the Father about his disciples in their audience, I tell you, they changed their lives after that. After John chapter 17, indeed, looking at it from the accomplished work of Calvary, it had a sobering effect upon them. And now, you know, I tell you this. There's a book, I am sure the bookshelf got it. It is by Mr. Hamilton Smith, The Last Words. very good book. I want to recommend it to the young people. And in it, he gives a wonderful outline. It's very good. He says, verse 1 to 5, we see the desire of the Lord that the Father will be glorified by the Son. From 6 to 21, it have that his desire is that Christ may be glorified in the saints. And from verse 22 to 26, we have the desire that the saints may be glorified, that the saints may be glorified with Christ. I give you that outline. But you know, permit me to present another one to you. Okay? Now, in verse 1 to 5, we see the Son. The Son. We see his petition. We see his preeminence. We see his perfect walk and work. And we see his person, his glorious person. From 6 to 8, we see sonship and what characterizes it. And from verse 9 to 21, we see the path of sonship. And likewise, verse 22 to 26, we see the blessings of sonship. Now, this is the path we are going down. We are going down this path because indeed we need to hear indeed what the Lord Jesus, the Son, thinks about you. Now it tells us the always come in verse 1. And I'll be moving a little fast, so be patient with me. The always come. We know this is known between the Father and the Son. This hour has come. It is the time for suffering and glorification. The always come. This is what, you know, remember the Lord says, this is now your hour and the hour of darkness. But the thing was, is that the Lord Jesus put it on a very high plane now. He lifts up his eyes and he's speaking to his Father. He says, Father, the always come. The hours of suffering, the hour of you know, of glorification, it is come. It's like a man who is so eagerly, you know, indeed, awaiting to say, indeed, I just want to see you glorified. I just want to see your name magnified and praised in this scene in which you were dishonored, indeed, and brought, and that's why you have been robbed of your glory. The Son said, glorified. Glorify thy name. This in all the walk and ways. If you observe in all that was said in the lectures that were brought before about God's honor, about God's glory, this was the paramount thing in the heart and life of the Lord Jesus. The Father's glory, the Father's honor, this was his object in life. Was the glorification, the Father's glory. Indeed, that is why he was here. He was here for the Father's glory. Then after he tells us about his preeminence, God had given him power over all flesh. Indeed, that he may give eternal life to as many as will receive him. Now this eternal life, you have to keep in mind, in light of scripture, in 1 John chapter 1, and verse 2, it says, and the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and declare unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Eternal life is a person. So in other sense, indeed, the Lord Jesus had to give himself to others that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have written unto you, John again speaking, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the only begotten Son of God. Indeed, eternal life brings us into a relationship with divine persons. We have been brought in. But not only so, it tells us this. It tells us in verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou hast given me to do. When it comes, this is the Son speaking to the Father. Father, glorify thee, dear. Oh, what a walk. What a life. What a life that was seen. Wist thee not I must be about my Father's business? My meat and my drink is to do the will of him that sent me. I always do those things that please the Father, that the world may know that I love the Father. When it comes to the moral walk of the Lord Jesus, I tell you, was such a delight to the heart of the Father. And he never said it. Thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He didn't say that when he was born in Bethlehem's manger. He said that 30 years after. Indeed, his walk and ways was a total delight and joy to the heart of the Father. And then his work on Calvary. No man taketh my life from me. Have power to lay it down, have power to take it back up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Indeed, his work has glorified God above sin. Indeed, beloved saints, indeed to realize indeed what he was saying to the Father. Then he came on this ground. He's the eternal Son. Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Yeah? This one who men spat upon, who nailed to the cross, this was God over all, blessed forever. The eternal Son, co-equal with the Father, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Indeed, the same one. Indeed, the scripture tells us in the book of Colossians, indeed, that he is God himself, the image of the invisible God. And here he is on earth, and he could say to the Father, indeed, as it were, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Beloved saints, this is the Son. And all of us have to step aside when we present the Son. Indeed, remember the ark that was to go ahead of the children of Israel. Remember when Moses was going through the wilderness and he called Hobad to say, be to us instead of eyes. You know the way through the wilderness, Hobad. So you guide us. God says, hey, don't make that mistake. The ark must go before. And the Lord Jesus, as the Son, has gone before to show us, indeed, as it were, real, what real sonship is all about. Do you know your son? No, I'm not speaking of sons and daughters. I'm going to bring before you. Indeed, there is why this intercession. This intercession before God. As he comes, and the first thing he says, and he brings before them, he says, in this block is the characteristics, sonship, and what characterizes it. Hear him speaking. You know what? I want to bring a verse in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. According as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I want to say to you, those two verses that I brought, they have two leading words in it. It's delight and pleasure. Now, as sons, We are for God's delight and we are for God's pleasure. And what is so striking, the scripture brings before us and showed to us that everyone who have received the Son, who have been adopted, have been brought into sonship. I want to follow with me. Okay? They are the objects of the Father's heart. As the Lord Jesus was to the Father when he walks here. When he traversed this wilderness pathway. So each one of us is to the Father right now. And he's going to show to us. First thing the Lord Jesus prayed about. And he says, indeed, to the sons in verse 6, he said, let me get back to John's gospel. John's gospel, chapter 17, verse 6. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whereof whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them thy word, which thou givest me, and they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Tell you. There are some features or some characteristics that should characterize the sons of God. Now, the sons of God, what it means, as I say, is not a son or a daughter. It's a place of position into which we have been brought. It's a place of dignity. It's a place of honor. And if you want to learn your position, look at the Son, where he is. There is your position. As he was here for God, so we are indeed for God now. Indeed, why? Because we are sons of God. And now he is praying for the sons. And one of the features of the sons is that we are for God's delight. And now he is in the presence of divine persons. He's in the presence of God. And in other words, he's saying, oh God, indeed I was here for thy delight. Now these are for your delight. And yeah, indeed, I'm presenting them to thee. Indeed, why? As God, it got pleasure from the heart and life of the Lord Jesus. The Father wants the same from us. And he's interceding and crying unto the Father that this, but not only so. One of the features of sons is this. It tells us he has declared the Father's name. And it was made mention, you know, indeed, Abraham, great, a friend of God. Excellent. Indeed, friend, we are sons. And it tells us that Abraham knew God as the Almighty. And under that name, Abraham went through in his pilgrim journey. Moses, he came to Moses, he says, by my name, Jehovah, was I not known, the covenant-keeping God. Since we have been brought into a more intimate relationship than that of Moses, than that of friend of God, a man who spoke to God face to face, indeed, a man, Abram, indeed, who God called his friend, indeed, you know what God is to us? God is our Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And he says, I declared your name to your sons, to those that are in the world. You know what revelation is that? Indeed, you ask. You know, a watchtower person came to me and they says, well, listen, sir, you need to know Jehovah. I said, Jehovah, what do you call your Father? What do you call your Father? Eh? I says, if I come to your house, I have to say Mr. Bass. But what do you call him? He said, I said, Daddy. I said, that's the same thing with us. We can call God Abba Father because we are sons. We have been brought in. And fathers, according to the scriptural term, indeed, sons are for the Father's delight. The Father, the Son, is before the Father. Just saying, I've declared your name unto them. He says, man, and not only so, you are a gift from the Father to Christ. You could imagine the Lord Jesus telling the Father, these were gifts from you to me. How I thank you for them. You are prayed for. And the disciples, the sons were brought into death, hearing the Lord Jesus telling the Father, I am a gift from God to Christ. Oh, man. One brother says this anniversary date come up, you see. And sometimes husbands forget the anniversary date, sisters. And but this time it was a wife. And she forgot to buy something to celebrate the day. And she said, boy, what to do? You know what she did? She wrapped up herself in some. Put on a bow. And he came through the door. She said, ta-da-da-da. This is my gift to you. Hey, Jesus had that first. Okay? God, the Father, has given you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the characteristics of sonship. Not only so, hear what he says. He says, they have kept thy word, a son. Always keep the word of the Father. I'm talking about scriptural, okay? You, sons, you want to eat out of your father eating out of your hand? You just follow his words. You just do things to delight him. Boy, you will get anything from him. You ask him for 1,000. He said, boy, maybe 1,000 again too. Listen, I'm telling you, obedience, this is, I've kept thy word. This is sonship. This was seen in the son. And now it's to be reproduced in us as sons. Next thing he says, they have known, let me read from scripture. Verse 7. They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. It's the Father communicates with the Son. It tells there's interest. There is interest that takes place, like Abram and Isaac going up. Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Son, God will provide himself a lamb. That's sonship. Enjoying wonderful communion with the Father. The Lord Jesus enjoyed this. And he knew the Father's interest. He knew what delights the Father's heart. And he knew we were here for the pleasure of God. He says, they have received thy word. They believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 8 says, and they received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. You could imagine the Lord Jesus praying, not because of sin, not because you have gone off course, not because sin in the camp, but all to rise to the level of sonship, to enjoy that place. Where the Son is bringing us into and raising up to a level whereby we can enjoy the Father and the Father enjoy us. You know, I was saying to the brethren in Markham, I was going from Sam and I, Sam Rice, David's brother, and I was going from Germany to Moldova. And we were going through the clouds, boy, and man, and the plane shaking. And it's shaking. Oh boy, I tell you. And going through the clouds, bumpy ride. And all of a sudden, after 45 minutes, we above the clouds. Man, it was blue and nice. This is the place to live. This is the place we need to travel. We need to get above the clouds. We need to rise above the clouds and realize there's a region where divine persons want to bring us, and forget about this place down here and realize it's his desire to bring us into the sanctuary, that we may hear the voice of divine persons in their desire for us, and indeed the desire that we live indeed in the good of what we have been brought into. Too much of us, man, live in the clouds. We can't see too good. We're not coming into Canada. So much snow. When you look out the window, you can't see anything. You couldn't even see the houses. And I says, well, boy, thank God for instruments. And that just before we land, you see the runway. I says to the pilot coming out. He earned his money that day. Oh yes. You think I want to live through that? Huh? I want to live above the clouds. Come in to the holiest of all. Come in to the sanctuary. Listen to the high priest. Speak on your behalf, that you may know. Listen, it's not because you have sinned that we have to pray and intercede. It's that we may, you may come into the good of what indeed your sonship is. That's why the Apostle Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians, that you may know the hope of your calling, that you may know the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the power towards us, even the power that raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. That was a prayer for knowledge. But in chapter 3 is a prayer for enjoyment. So now you can imagine the sun. But then there's a path. There's a path through this world in relation to this sonship. Don't believe the Lord Jesus as the Son. He learned obedience to the things that he suffered. Every son that God receives, he chastens. Don't believe that. And if you have not chastened, you are a bastard. It means you are not a Christian. You are not born. You are not a son. So all of us are in the schoolhouse of God. And in this block here, verse 9 to 21, he brings before us the path. The path of sonship. This is the path we have to follow. We are passing through a hostile world. We are going to have trials and difficulties. The Lord Jesus had it. They hated him without a cause. Indeed, they hated him. He has a friend of sinners. Wine bibber friend. He eat it and drink it with sinners. Yeah? Look at him. He's going to be a friend of sinners. All kind of things they said about the Lord. But here the Lord in the presence of the Father. And it tells us in verse 9. First thing he asks in verse 9. I pray for them. Not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. First to begin, keep this in mind. The Lord is interceding on our behalf because we are here for God's pleasure. We are here for his pleasure. As we're going through, keep this in mind. I am here for God's delight. I am here to please him. And the Lord had to bring this to his disciples. I am here not to make money. Sure, I don't want you to go pauper. I don't want you to say, well, you know, like that man who says, you know, I'm going to trust the Lord. I won't work. I just ask in the Lord. He has promised to open the windows of heaven and he's going to pour me out a blessing. Oh, yes, you'll wait till the cows come home. But the scripture tells us, indeed, by the sweat of your brow, of your forehead, you shall eat bread. But the fact still remains, the rich man spent all his life accumulating all these things, believing that life consists in the abundance of things which a man possessed. Then the Lord says, who shall these things be? We are here for God, and we are here for his delight. The second thing he tells them in verse 10, we are here to represent the Son. Oh, what a high calling. We were going to Ethiopia. A young brother was going to marry a sister in Ethiopia. Well, I'm telling you what he said, okay? He said he lost his passport in London. Boy, time, and the girl waiting. Wedding started. Brian, they tell me I have to say something on behalf of the child. I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, please, give me some help. So I said, listen, he lost his passport in London, but his uncle is the ambassador in England, and he is working on his passport, which was true. But then, the uncle worked feverishly, got another passport for him, a wife, sent up some documents, got the passport, sent it off. Somebody said, just somebody, remember a rumor, somebody said, I think he got cold feet and threw away the passport. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but this I know. He got a new passport and he came. And when he came, God, I tell you, he thanked his uncle in the UK. He was representing the government of the of St. Kitts and Nevis. And he said the brother, when he was at the airport, they sent a limousine for him to pick him up in the stretched limousine. He said, Brother Brian was riding around like a king. Said, and the man came and opened the door for me. And then after, when he went to his uncle's villa, where the flat he was living, someone opened the door. He says, but I was treated with royalty. Hey, what about us? What about us? Yeah? We are here to represent the Son, to walk for Him, to live for Him, to let others know we are as He was, so we are in this world. This is what He's praying. And then He continues. He tells them in verse 11, keep through thine own name. Now this keep is really to be sheltered. To be sheltered, to be kept in the tender care and kindness of the Father. Imagine the Son is committing us into the Father's care. It's not in the care of Brother Brian, not in the care of the brothers here. He is committing them into the care of the Father. Keep them, because they are going through this world. And as I have been kept, indeed so, please then, keep them in your name. Then he tells them, he said, listen, he used Holy Father. Because if you link the verses in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, it says he was holy, he was harmless, he was spotless, he was blameless, undefiled, separate from sinners. There is a character. It's a path of holiness. Now let people say, tell you, listen, you could live any place, anyhow, indeed, and because you could call yourself a Christian. Some guy came down from America to St. Kitts and talking about bright all earrings all here. And one through his nose. And he's all bred up. He says he come into witness for the Lord. He went into the square. And he says, you need to stand on the word. And he got up and stand on the Bible. Boy, I tell you. Well. He was glad to get down. Okay? He was glad to get down. You cannot come in the Caribbean with that kind of behavior. That's probably for North America. And believe you are going to walk out as though you are riding on horse and some champion. No, sir. Indeed, listen, it's a path of holiness. This is sonship. There's a path. And this path people don't want. But if you are a son, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You may be a son of God, but when you are led and the life is seen, then you can say, yes, and this is for the Father's eye. This is the Father's eye, the Father who says, Son of God, and what are they like? Then he says in verse 12, they walk in Verse 12, he says, while I was in the world, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. No. This is a son, he's lost. That's Judas, he's gone. We are not talking about him. But I tell you this. We need to walk in the light of the knowledge that God is my Father. It is not Mr. Hall who have sung. It's not Mr. Redicott. It's not Mr. Baptiste. I have to walk in this world with the knowledge that God is my Father. The Lord Jesus went through this world with that knowledge, conscious knowledge. And he's telling the Father, oh, that they may walk in the light of this revealed name. God is my Father. I tell you, it is sobering. One guy said, you know who is my Father? You know who is my Father? I call my father. Now get out of here. A brother who was a policeman in our meeting. I had to ask another policeman, please, this boy wants to lock up everybody. I said to him, please, let me use wisdom. Anyway, he locked up this man's son. So when he was taking him down to the prison, he said, tell my father, Vernon, lock me up. The father says, hey, you know who I am? That you lock up my son. My son. Names are thrown about. Names are, boy, because your pedigree. There's a certain time when you hear the name Kennedy. Boy, people say, wow. Oh, Rockefeller. Ooh. You say, wow, these are men. These are men who have names. And when you call, oh, this person sent me. It was like, oh man. It was like a passport. Listen, when it comes to God your Father, keep this in mind. I have to behave like the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he comes. He spoke about in verse 13 about the joy. This is the path. My joy. What was the joy of the Lord Jesus? His joy was to do the will of him that sent him. His joy was to please the Father. But you know, John put it well. In John Epistle, chapter 1, and verse 3 and 4. He says, that you may have fellowship with us. See, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Do you know there was such a joy the Lord Jesus had? He was called the man of sorrows. But I tell you, the Lord had joy in his life going through this life. Tremendous joy. Boy, there was joy over one sinner that repents. It tells us he rejoiced to do his Father's will. There is joy, the joy of communicating with the Father. I tell you, you know, you try to develop that and you see what happens. What joy comes into your heart. Let us close off quickly. In verse 14, You know what it tells us? I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what it tells us? We are heavenly company. I tell you, praise God. This world is not my home. We are heavenly company. Sons for heaven. And there we are. He says, you are heavenly company. This world is not our home. People are putting down their stakes and indeed betting their lives on things that are transient, that is passing, that is not stable. But I tell you this. Keep this in mind. The Lord Jesus is reminding you, you are not of this world. And then after he says, keep them from the evil. The Lord Jesus was not defiled. Don't occupy. A brother used to say, forget about the sideshows, brethren. Just keep your eyes on Christ, the prize. Be occupied with him. There's many things that will come in to rob me of the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. But he says, with the Lord Jesus, man, he just leave them alone. Says these things are not going to be occupy my attention. And I'm going to close with this. In verse 17. Sanctify them. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. No. There's a path of separation. For the sons of God. There's a path of separation. Now separation, some people believe, is a straitjacket. You know, I cannot do this. Cannot go here. Hey, separation is not from only. It's to Christ. That's why he sanctified himself also. There's an object outside of this world that I can look on. No, the thing about this, you know, the policemen are wise. When they want to catch a drunk man, they said they walk a straight line. And when he start walking, wobbling all over the place, and they lock him up. But if they tell him to look out at that light over there, spite he's drunk, he's going to do so, he might move here. But I tell you, keep his eyes on that light, he'll walk straight. It's the same thing with us. God has put an object, and you just follow him. And as you follow him, you are going to be sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. Let me close with this. In verse 19. He's the object of sonship. The son is our model. Don't look at the brethren. Look at Christ. Then we'll close with verse 22. Verse 22 tells us, and the glory which thou hast given, now from, you know, from verse 22 to verse 26 is the blessing of sonship. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 24. Father, I will that thou, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There are three things that come out here. One is, he's going to share, verse 22, his acquired glory. The glories he has won. The Son is going to share it with us. Then the love that the Father have for him, he have for us. But then there's a glory we shall not share. That's verse 24. That's a glory we shall behold. This is what the Son was in the presence of the Father, beseeching and interceding on our behalf for, that we as sons may come into the good of the mind persons. Hey, that's what the Son wants. What a place to be brought. Listen to him, and may God help us to rise and live above the clouds. But scripturally speaking, let's go into the sanctuary. Amen.
Amen.